let's talk about the kashrus, the permissibility of eating turkey. Does anyone know in which country turkey is eaten the most? Which country per capita is turkey eaten the most? Eretz Yisrael. There's more turkey eaten in Eretz Yisrael per capita than anywhere else in the world. The second
is the whole kibbutz Ein Surim, I think, which is in the south, which is a whole place full of turkeys.
Oh, it's not on? Eretz Yisrael is the greatest, the Israelis are the greatest consumers of turkey in the entire world. The second to Israelis are the Americans. So obviously, Eretz Yisrael is a Jewish country and it's consumed, it must be that turkey is kosher. Now, I have here two, three articles. We actually once spoke about this probably last year, the year before, by Rabbi Ari Z. Zivotofsky. Zivotofsky, he is the big mumcha, he is one of the big experts in this field of different types of foods, birds, veal, exotic foods. He published, he published an article in many journals. Some articles are in Hebrew, some are in English. I have in possession the RJJ journals. He published two articles in two different RJJ journals. Plus, he published another article in the Chakira journal in the year 2011. Now, the main thing I want to talk about, not too much detail because I don't know too much about this, is the difference between turkey and, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, the Muscovy duck.
The Muscovy duck.
Now, the Muscovy duck is something which looks like a pekin. And pekin is accepted to be 100% kosher. We have a tradition. But the Muscovy duck
is a nut.
Am I not pronouncing it correctly?
Peacock is not a kosher.
Pekin. What did I say?
Pekin.
A pekin duck.
A
pekin?
Beijing.
The Muscovy duck is a major controversy throughout the entire world. I'm coming to that. We're going to come to that in one moment. The Muscovy, I want to contrast. This is what I take out of. What I'm saying might be totally off, but from what I've read, this is what I take out from my own understanding of what he's writing. He put together all of his articles. He put together at least what I've seen in the RJJ journal and the Chakira journal. There are two birds. There is the turkey, and then there is the Muscovy duck. In the world today, 99.9% of the Orthodox population has no problem eating turkey. Even the 0.001% that will not eat turkey will acknowledge that the only reason why they're not eating this is a chumrah, a personal chumrah. It's not based in pure halacha. Everyone knows Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was well known that he did not eat turkey. But Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes here, told his grandchildren that they should eat turkey. They can eat turkey. And his personal chumrah has no bearing upon them. It's not a matter of halacha. It's a personal chumrah. Turkey. Who?
Rav Epstein. Didn't eat turkey. But they asked him about it. He says, I don't like turkey.
You don't like turkey. Okay. Some people,
unlikely excuse.
I personally, my mother, Olel Hashem, used to serve turkey often. And I somehow I sensed that after I eat turkey, I get very tired. So I googled it. So it seems like it's a very, very common thing. But they've done an enormous amount of research on this, and they've come to the conclusion that the only reason why you're getting tired is because you're eating a large meal. Because typically turkey at Thanksgiving dinner, and you have carbohydrates and proteins. They don't go together. Blah blah blah. And then they've done more studies, and indeed they found that turkey contains a certain type of enzyme that indeed can cause a person to get tired, but you have to eat at least 20 turkeys for it to have an effect on you. Personally, I once spoke to a very big expert in mold.
in we had someone come down for testing for mold, and they do, you know, they do laboratory tests, they take mold samples, and there are certain people, he explained to certain people, there's, if there's mold, it's life-threatening because they're allergic. And he said, and then he told him, but there are, and then there's certain everyone has mold to some degree, and in the laboratory and under a microscope you'll find the mashahu, and it's, and there's a certain threshold of what, how much mold has to exist in the year in order for it to be a health issue. But he said to me, but there, he said in his experience, this is a very big mantra, in his experience there are people that even a mashahu shebe mashahu can become ill from microscopic traces of mold. So I personally feel that there are people that are extremely sensitive to this enzyme that appears only in turkey, does not appear in chicken, that can trigger a degree of fatigue. I don't know, maybe I'm, it's nonsense.
It's a tryptophan, which would make them to serotonin, puts us to sleep.
Yeah. So and this existed, but nobody, but something that
there's a high concentration of that amino acid.
There's a higher concentration. No, but I read that there's something unique that's only in turkey, that's not in chicken. Mm-hmm. You have to Google it, see what it says. Okay.
A lot of car accidents on Thanksgiving.
No, okay. All right, so here's the issue. So let's discuss the issue. So here is the issue. Let's just run through very quickly.
Wild turkey.
Here is the issue. We have here two birds. We have the turkey. The turkey is assumed. Not according to all opinion, it is assumed to be a new discovery. It's native to North America. It was not known until Columbus discovered America. It appears that this bird was not known. It was not known until the end of the 15th century. It didn't exist. So all of the Rishonim and the Gemtan. What?
The pilgrims.
Later on. Yeah. Okay, I'm saying, but it was not known to Klal Yisrael. Let's talk about it. When was the first Jew to arrive in America? In the 17th century.
Columbus brought a lot of Jews on the ship.
No, he didn't bring.
No, but there were no.
They were not known. There were 23 Jews. 23 Jews came on the ship. Okay, when it come? Peter Stuyvesant. So what year was that? 1650. Okay, so Jews did not officially arrive in America until approximately 1650, the 17th century. So it cannot be that Jews asked a Shiloh about eating turkey, a bird that was never seen by all of the, until my recent times almost, until contemporary times. It was not known such a thing existed. Okay, so there's definitely there's no Messiah. Now, I shouldn't say there's no Messiah, because there are people who have struggled very hard to claim that turkey was already appeared in India, was already known in other, was in, they already knew about it. Okay, so this is something which is a stretch. It's a stretch. Yeah.
Yeah. Rev Brown, I mentioned, he said what happened was they found this bird here in America.
Yeah.
There were no such thing as photography.
Yeah.
They drew, really, okay?
Yeah.
And they sent throughout the world to every dealer, do you have a bird that looks like this?
Yeah.
That has a Messiah?
Yeah.
And in a community in India said, we have a bird like this here.
Yeah, in India.
On, they found it wasn't. That's what
it's a different bird.
Hodu.
And it was a different bird.
That's a different bird.
Okay, this is the big dilemma, right?
It isn't. But by that time,
okay,
they saw that it was Madeira.
Okay, so this is so basically, I think it's pretty safe to say, more or less, there's no Messiah on the turkey. And yet, the fact is, every major league kashrus organization in America and Eretz Yisrael, the OU, the Star K, they go down the whole long list, there's all lists, they all officially, on their books, accept that turkey to be kosher. Shchita is accepted, the shchita and everything is fine and good, there's no problem whatsoever. Now, we have another bird called the Muscovy duck. The Muscovy duck was also a new discovery. It was discovered for the first time. The first record of someone asking a child about the Muscovy duck was by Rabbi Ilaway. I think his name is already Ilaway. He was a Rav in New Orleans. And he sent a Shiloh to Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch and Rav Nosson Adler.
Wow.
And they paskined that it's a different Nosson Adler, later Nosson Adler.
He was in England.
And he paskined, they both paskined, that the bird, based upon the information that was, the way it was described to them, which we seem to know now was inaccurate, that it's not kosher. And the bulk of the reason why it was not kosher was based upon, number one, they were told that it's a violent bird, it's a predator, and the eggs. So the main thing they told, the eggs that it lays have the shape of non-kosher eggs. The Shulchan Aruch, it's very clear, a kosher bird produces eggs that's flat on one end and pointy on the other end. Had a Rebbe once told me an egg that's pointy on both ends is not kosher. An egg that's flat on both ends is not kosher. I had a Rebbe once told me a good bochor is like a kosher egg. If the bochor has a tip, it's pointy on top, it's a good head, but it's pointy on the bottom. He has no zitzflesh. A good head, but no zitzflesh, he can't sit still. No good. Then you have a bocha that's flat on the bottom. He can sit, but the head is schwach. The head's flat. It's no good. But a bocha that's flat on the bottom and pointy on top? Oh, this is a good, this is a kosher egg, this is a good shirach. So the way the shiloh was presented,
that the flat part is on the bottom.
What? What is it all the way around?
The flat part is on the bottom.
Okay, that's the assumption. Now the halacha, the shiloh was sent to Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch, and it was told him that the eggs are red. They have a reddish color. And or a greenish color, they have a reddish color, and the eggs are pointy on top and the bottom. And also they said some things that the egg, this bird, the Muscovy duck, is a bit violent. It does, they know, therefore, the question of what a dorais is will come down in a few moments. So they passed him that that's not kosher. And that psak halach had a major effect on the tradition in America that this is a non-kosher bird. Until other...
Gemara, why did he have to ask those questions? He could have reasoned there himself.
Well, it wasn't clear to what degree they, I don't know, you're right, I don't know the answer.
I say something.
Yeah.
They about so a little less than 10 years ago roughly that because of that there were no ducks for Pesach.
Yeah.
And they had a big problem. Rabbi Belsky said they were kosher, by the way, at the end of Paschal. Based on the fact that according to Halacha, anything can only propagate if it's min b'mino. And since this was min b'mino, it must be the same species.
The problem with come to some of those ideas. Okay, so I just he has here in the Chakira journal, the history, come out half of this article in the Chakira is word for word in the RJJ journal. This thing is making me said it. Okay. But this shiloh was presented by Rabbi Socher Dov Ilui. He was the rabbi in New Orleans. He sent the shiloh to Rabbi Nosson Adler and to Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch, and they passed that it's treif. Now years later, the question came up in other communities, and the shiloh really came up in Argentina. And Argentina, they went to greater extremes by actually delivering two birds, a male and a female bird, to Eretz Yisrael, to Shmuel Salant. In Eretz Yisrael, this is already in the beginning of the 20th century, 1900, and he died in 1909, he was very old, it says, then he passed in Shiloh. And visiting at that time was Rabbi Chaim Berlin. Okay, the one that the yeshiva is named after,
the Netziv's
son, he was present, and he was there with Rabbi Shmuel Salant, when the shiloh was presented. And on the trip, it was a long trip, obviously, from Argentina to Eretz Yisrael, it was a very long trip, the male bird died. But the female bird survived. And they were studying this bird, and Rav Salant did not want to paskin the halacha. He did not, and he told him in deference to Rav Chaim Berlin, he said, it's you to paskin the halacha. Rav Chaim Berlin, he refused to paskin, it's not exactly clear why, he refused to paskin the halacha. They told him why. They told him that the bird had breathed with snakes, and there's other things. They told him all these things, which it turns out were not true. And at the end, Rav Shmuel Salant indeed did paskin, and he said to shech the bird and to eat it. He didn't just pask it, he did a maiseraf. He said, slaughter it and eat it to show the people that the bird is a kosher bird. And then he himself wrote up his psak halacha, and it was sent worldwide. So basically, Rav Salant is chaylik on Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch and Rav Nosson Adler. He paskin that this Muscovy bird is kosher. It is a kosher bird. Now this psak Now, over the years, there were many other gedolim which also paskin, and later, of Tzvi Pesach Frank, he said that you can't change the halacha of Shmuel Slan paskin, it's kosher, but he seemed to downplay the heter of eating the Muscovy duck. That's the impression he gives over here in Hartzi. And basically what I've read online from Rabbi Belsky is that you have to know the background, that it seems that there was a very great shortage of poultry in Eretz Yisrael. And there was a very great desperation for food. They were extremely poor, and it was one of the only things that was available. And some want to suggest that it was a heter based upon the needs of the time. It was not necessarily something which was a lechatchila according to all opinions, because as we say, it's missing a tradition. Now let's take a step back. What makes a bird? Let's join very quickly the base. What makes a bird not kosher? What makes a bird? The Torah does not tell us anything about simonim for a kosher bird. Not like an animal which has to have malaskera, mafresis parsa. The thing the Torah does, it enumerates 24 non-kosher birds. So by default, anything that's not the 24 non-kosher birds is kosher. The problem is we do not know how to identify those 24 non-kosher birds. Anytime we come in contact with the bird, we have to be chayish, and maybe the bird that we come in contact with is indeed one of those 24 non-kosher birds. Chazal, however, have a tradition, Misinai, that the 24, that there are four simonim. If it has an extra finger, it has to have four fingers, and that's also a question of what that means exactly. It has to have a korkovan, it has to have a crop, and the gizzard has to be peeled. The gizzard has to be able to be peeled. If it has those simonim, then you can be certain, there's one more condition, you have to be certain that the bird is not a predator, is not a doyres. Now the first three simonim, of having an extra finger, having a crop, the gizzard could be peeled, are things which are reality, are metzias. You can see it, you can touch it, even though you can debate what does it mean to be peeled. That also became a very big issue. Maybe if you go and you soften it, you can peel it. If you can't, certain type of birds, if you soften it, you can peel it. If you don't soften it, you can't peel it. What exactly does it mean to have an extra finger? Some with an extra finger in the front, in the back. Okay, you can debate all of these things, but basically you're starting off with a starting point of something concrete, of defining what are the basic simonim. But when it comes to the meat of being a doyres, that is not a mitzias. That is a midah. That is the nature of a bird. And indeed, there's a machlokes, there are four basic mahalchim in the Rishonim. What exactly is the meaning of a doyres? Does it eat creatures when they're alive? Does it eat its prey when it's alive? Or does it first kill it? If it eats it when it's alive, that makes it a doyres. Does it snatch it? Does it hold it down? Okay, there are many different approaches exactly what makes a bird into a doyres. The basic theme of all four approaches is it's not a violent creature. It's a delicate creature. It eats its food in a civilized way. It doesn't attack. It doesn't harm other creatures in a violent way. That's the basic gist of what defines a bird as being a doyres. Now, the problem is what happens if we come across a new bird that we have no tradition, we have never come in contact with. For example, the turkey and the Muscovy duck, these are the two primary birds which are the only really big childs. There's one of the bird another type of bird which is not really, really relevant because it's very rare, so it's not really very relevant to the consumer, the market. It's not sold in the market, but these two birds are birds which are available. They're available in the market. So these are very two big questions. So these two do not, they have all three simonim, they have an extra finger, they have a crop, their gizzard is peeled, but the only question is, we do not really know how to define the meaning of a predator. And the truth is, if you want to make an argument, you can say that a chicken's a predator. Chicken. A chicken is not such a...
The question about the Ligurian chicken.
The chickens are not such delicate creatures. They're aggressive. They're violent also, chickens. You bark up the wrong tree, they can be violent. They're not so simple. So if you want to go define me what is called a predator and tell me that a turkey is a predator, the same thing, the reason why a turkey would be called a predator, you can say that the chicken is a predator. And obviously a chicken is not a predator. This has been tradition from time immemorial. So too, a turkey is not a predator. So this is the big question. How do we define a predator? So indeed, the Shulchan says, the Machaber says, Yeshem, some say, Shekoloif, Shechartumai Rochaf, if its beak is wide, And the kaf ragloi ruchav has a very wide leg, paw, kishel avos, like a goose, biyadua she'enoi doyres. There are two simonim of what makes something not a doyres. Because the meanness of it being a doyres include having a violent beak and having violent claws. If the creature does not have those two parts of the body, it can't, by nature, by definition, be a doyres, if its beak is not a violent, it does not have the point, and the legs don't have the claws which can harm. So therefore, like a goose is the model, and therefore, biyadua she'en doyres sumut ba'achila, web feet. So the Mechaber says, you do not need a tradition. If you discover in any future time a new creature upon which you have no tradition, the only thing you have to make sure is it has the other three simonim, an extra finger, a crop, the gizzard is peeled, and to be sure that it's not a predator, just make sure it has a wide mouth and a webbed feet, then you are okay.
With the eggs coming now.
The what?
The
eggs are a separate thing. That's a separate issue. That if this bird happens,
it goes for it and the eggs aren't good.
No, that would mean that it's not kosher. That would mean an exception. It seems doesn't exist. It seems that it would not exist. This was false information that was passed on. That was passed on to Rav Shamshir Fall Hirsch, that the eggs are red and they're pointy, because it's not. The eggs of the Muscovy duck are identical to the eggs of a chicken. So it's a big mystery how they even presented false information. Someone had an agenda to present Rav Shamshon Falhorsh false information. What, yeah?
So where's the standard of the size, shape of the egg?
We compare it, I guess, we compare it to a regular egg, to Le'enayim. Yes, it's the Gemara. It's a Shulchan Aruch. We look at it, and then you look at an egg of a chicken, you look at another egg. If they look similar enough to the naked eye, it's good enough. You don't have to go start making scientific measurements. So here's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch makes absolutely no mention of this thing that we're all brainwashed, that you need a tradition. There's no mention whatsoever. You have a new bird you never saw before. Does it have the three simonim? Yeah. Is it a doyres? Well, if it doesn't have these problems, you're good to go. Along comes the Ramah. The Ramah is only representing Ashkenazic Jewry. He's not representing Sfardim. And he says, Hagah v'yesh oimim, some say she'ein lismech afilu al zeh. Unless v'ein lechol shum oif ela b'misores shekiblu bo shuhu tohar. You have to have a tradition. Where does the Ramah get this? This is his own idea. He's not telling us a source for this. Doesn't say anywhere here where he got this idea. It's the Ramah's own unique approach to halacha. Even though, don't tell me again, it's not one of Mesorah. Problem. The turkey does not have a Mesorah. The turkey is accepted today to be kosher by every major league kosher organization. The Muscovy duck in Eretz Yisrael, it is accepted kosher. In America, it is all of the kosher organizations, by and large, do not approve the Muscovy duck. The OU, remember, Rybelski privately holds it's kosher, but the OU by policy will not endorse the Muscovy duck. They will not give their stamp of approval on giving hechsher on the Muscovy duck. It's unacceptable. Why? And basically the answer is, well, there's no Mesorah. Because we are all Ashkenazic Jews, and therefore there's no Mesorah. That's the way it is. Even though the Muscovy duck looks pretty good, it has a wide, it's a duck, it has a wide, wide mouth, it has web feet to some degree. I don't even know exactly. I have to go look online, search on YouTube, you'll see some videos exactly. It appears to be okay, and yet the accepted opinion is that it's not accepted, basically because of the tradition going back from Rav Illowy, from what?
Is there another type of the duck?
No, that's the only controversy today. That's the only, by the Goyim, they are the ducks. But the kosher ducks. This is the only controversy. All the ducks are kosher.
Thank you.
Those are good. So the question is, what's the difference? So if you read between the lines, this is really amazing, and this is halacha, and it's very disturbing, but this is a reality. You read between what he says, and this is the big baki. You know why turkey is kosher today? Because no one asked the shah. They ate it for 150 years, and then they first woke up and they said, is this kosher? Are we really in kosher?
Sora was eating it.
So we've been eating it for 150 years, and no one said boo. So therefore, we'll continue eating it. And the OU says it's kosher, and Star K says it's kosher, and the OK says it's kosher. The Muscovy duck, no one was eating it. When they first asked the Shiloh in 1650, well, not 1650, in New Orleans, 1850. So 1850 was the first time they had an opportunity. They sent Rav Shamshon Falersh. He said it's not kosher. Okay, so that kept it at bay.
That's the old line of Refrekta Shiloh's trade.
Oh. It's mamish what it is. So they asked the Shiloh, he paskin treif. The issue died down for about 50 years until new people came along and said, why is it in Eretz Yisrael, in Argentina, independently? They don't know what was going on in America. Who lived in America then? They know in America. They sent from Argentina to Rav Shmuel Salant. Rav Shmuel Salant said it's okay. So now there became this divergence, Eretz Yisrael ad hayom hazeh. It's kosher. They give the Rabbanut. Rabbanut and all the kashrus organizations, it's kosher. Even the Hayrites and even Mahadrin, they give it with full Mahadrin.
Ashkenaz?
Yeah, Ashkenaz. Ashkenaz, Eretz is accepted as kosher. There are Kanoim, don't worry, there are Kanoim in Eretz that will tell you it's not kosher, but it's accepted. And in America.
Exported to America.
In America, then yeah, you can, but the OU, the organizations, the kashrus agencies in America will not independently give their stamp of approval. If you have an affair in Brooklyn and you want it in a restaurant, you're not going to find any kashrus agency in America that's going to give. You want to do in your backyard, whatever you want to do, do whatever you want to do. No one's stopping you. But if you want to have the OU, you want Kehila Kashrus, you want the OK, the Star K, you name it, you want a major organization to give you a hechsher in America and you want to shech with your shech then Muscovy duck, you're not going to get it. Because that's the difference is because the Shiloh was asked. Unbelievable. The Shiloh was asked, and because the Shiloh was asked, and it was at, and no one was doing it yet, and they asked the Shiloh, and they, is it kosher, is it not kosher? So the bottom line is, L'chor, it's kosher. It's just that we don't have a Masorah, and the Ramah says there's a Masorah, so we have to take the Ramah at face value, and don't look for Heterim. Don't look.
People who were here eating for 150 years were Sephardic Jews.
Oh, so that's another. That we're going to come to that. That's the heter. That's a heter. But Ashkenaz should stop right away. Right. But when it came to the Muscovy duck, it's an amazing insight into how the world works. The Shiloh, no one was doing it. They came to ask a Shiloh. What's the Russian and Yiddish? If you ask a Shiloh, it's awesome. Don't ask, don't tell. Turkey is exactly the same. There's no difference between the turkey and the Muscovy duck. Exactly the same. No one asked the Shiloh. They ate it. They ate it for 150 years, and then they woke up and says, wait a minute, this is not a chicken. This only could have first existed after Shulchan Aruch, after Chazal. How are we allowed to eat this? Oh, it's a good kasha, but we've been doing it for 150 years. So now we desperately, the Paiskin desperately searched for heterim. Now, what are the heterim? So among the heterim is, probably the most popular heterim is from the Arugas HaBoisem. The Arugas HaBoisem is a tremendous chiddush. He says that when the Ramah wrote, you need a Mesorah, there must not be cholik on the Mechaber. The Mechaber says it's good, it's good. If you have a sofek, if it's a doyres, if you have a chicken, is also lechoyre doyres. You go, you start with a chicken, you're in trouble. You don't go start with a chicken. He'll give you, the chicken will become very protective and very violent when it comes to food, when it comes to his turf. But listen, we have a mesoyro that the chicken is not a doyres. If you'll show me now another bird upon which you have a dilemma. Is it a doyres? Is it not a doyres? Then the Ramah said you need to have a Mesorah. But if you have a new discovery and it's clearly no more of a doyres, it's not a doyres, no more of a doyres than a chicken, then the Ramah never meant to be machmer and require a Mesorah. So since we have been living with the turkey for 150 years and we see that the turkey is not a doyres, it doesn't seem to fit into the four categories of the Achrayim, the Rishonim, the Achrayim that describe what a doyres. It's not a violent bird. We observe our own eyes that it's a pleasant creature. Doesn't. Therefore, we make them, and we are of the opinion that the Ramah was not discussing demanding them. It's only when there is circumstantial evidence that it is a doyres, and you want to overcome that circumstantial evidence, then you need a Masar that it's a mutter. But if there's no circumstantial evidence, the Ramah is loyal to the Shita of the Mechaber. Another answer is, you say, what's your name?
Mr. Donald.
Okay, so another answer is that the Mechaber, that the Svardim were the ones who originally, Spanish-Portuguese synagogue, the first Jews in America,
yeah,
were the Spanish Jews. They came from Brazil. They came from Brazil, they came from all different places, but the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue, the shul in Rhode Island, what's the name of the shul?
Tura.
This is a Svardim. They are the ones who set roots in America. Everything that we have in America today is built on the foundation that they laid for the Ashkenazim. We owe credit, all the Ashkenazim owe credit, we should make a mishberch for the Svardim. They're the ones who put roots, just like Yerushalayim was redeveloped by the Talmidei Hagra, by the Prushim. They get the credit. Look, they're in, their influence is there at Hayom Hazeh, all the Minhagim on Yerushalayim, by and large, are Minhagei Gra. You can't deny, because they, the other people living there also, but they really set up shop. You got to give credit where credit is due. America goes to the Svardim. They set up shop. They ate it. We, the Ashkenazim, became more guests of the Svardim. So like the Svardim ate the turkey, because the Svardim don't require a Mesiris. The Svardim, what you see is what you get. So we came. But these are heterim. These are all solutions after the fact. If we would come Esther Shiloh today, if we would discover the turkey today, it would be no different than the Muscovy duck, and it would pass in America today. The Ramah says it's Osir, it's Osir. Another very interesting answer, which is, doesn't, I don't really understand how the answer, their problem with the answer is, when was the Ramah born? The Ramah was born in the year 1540 or 1550. Something. When was America discovered? 1492. So that basically means that the turkey was not even known to the civilized world. I don't want to say anything about the Indians, but to the Western world, the turkey was not known. The turkey was not known until the year 1440. The turkey was already known in the year 1492. Now, this is what he writes over here. Some of our Achronim write this. The Ramah first was born in the year 15, something like 1550. So the Ramah who's coming to issue a psak, you need a Mesorah, that psak can only be Mikanu Lahaba, on any new bird, any new creature that would be discovered after the Ramah wrote his commentary, wrote his comment. But the turkey preceded, the turkey got in. The turkey already got in before the Ramah issued a ban on any fruit.
Okay,
it doesn't make sense because he didn't know about it.
They packaged food in the turkey and potatoes, whatever, but they didn't use it. They didn't use it. Because they kept the animals in the menageries and zoos. They didn't know how to.
Okay, look, now just to conclude, now these are the basic Yesoidais, the turkey, the Muscovy duck. These are primarily only two major birds which there's controversy. Turkey is not a controversy. Everyone holds his mutter. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky personally, a personal chumra, he told his grandchildren, Gesundheit, you can eat the turkeys. This is only fish.
Pheasant?
Is it a shiloh also? Oh, I don't know that. I'm not familiar with that.
Let's start another rumor.
Okay, but these are the two major. The bottom line is, in America, it's not eaten. It's not consumed pretty much by large. And now, this became a very big issue 5 years ago. And that's the thrust of this article. The thrust is the follow-up. He already wrote at least three major articles describing in detail the Muscovy duck. Basically, the whole... It's not very common. 5 years ago, in the Satmar slaughterhouse in Kiryas Yoel, it was... I don't know what time of the year it was. They were...
2 months before Pesach.
Before Pesach, and they sent in a shipment of duck to the slaughterhouse. Duck is a popular...
Well, shortage here. Jurgle was farming in Long Island, closed down. They went bankrupt, so they had to go elsewhere to get ducks, and they went to get ducks, and this is the ducks they came up with. And
they sent them in.
Somebody opened their mouth, and
after they already did a lot of shchita.
Suddenly, it was too close.
Okay, so let's review what happened. Satmar. Kiryas Yoel. Shchita. They were slaughtering in the slaughterhouse. They had a massive order, demand for duck. And this goes on every year. After they already processed and they slaughtered probably thousands, many thousands of duck, a sheikhet says, you know, this duck doesn't look like the duck from last year. Right? I heard Netanyahu once say, if it looks like a duck, and sounds like a duck, and what's the hole in the sukh? Quacks like a duck, it's a terrorist. So the duck does not look like the duck from last year. So they would shoil the Dairish, and they discovered this. That's right, this is not the typical duck. This is the Muscovy duck. They sent it to the slaughterhouse, the Muscovy duck, and they already slaughtered thousands of them, and they sent it out to the community, and people already cooked them in their pots.
Wow.
They cooked it in their pots, and now the question was, wait a minute, is this a kosher duck? And if it's not kosher, that means we have to issue a kol kari. Everyone has to kasher their kalim. People have to kasher the kalim. It's not kosher duck. So someone in Satmar, or someone, I'm not putting, he's very careful not to put, say any names, not to go too far. But this article is really more of a, it's a very powerful article in describing fraud, really about fraud and about deception and lies and misconduct in the marketplace. Someone went online, and he has the website, and they did some research, and they came across a farmer, a woman, who raised Muscovy duck, and she just has a blog, and he has the exact website. I didn't go look, enough time to go look it up. And she describes in detail about what she does in the duck, and she writes that these Muscovy ducks, they're a terror. They're really terrorists. They're very, very violent creatures. Wow. And they eat. She has a whole different description. So someone just saw that online, that one description, one website from an anonymous blogger, and decided this is Torah Misinai. It's Torah Misinai. The Muscovy duck is a bona fide predator. It's a doyres. But that is very shocking, because the Gedolei Yisrael have dealt with this for 100 years ago when it first became a Shaila. No one ever said that it's a doyres. We don't know what a doyres is. It's a sophic. The only dilemma that was discussed from all the is Mesoira. The Ramah says Mesoira. There's no Mesoira. Do we maybe it's so similar to other birds, other duck? What does it mean, a Masura? A new category, another heter. When do you need a Masura? We have a new category of bird. But when you have a bird that's part of the same family, the Muscovy duck is also part of the duck family. They know the whole geology, how it works, the whole ichos. It's not a new category. You don't need a Masura. No one ever said that the Muscovy duck is a predator. Whoever told you this? So they wrote this up, and then they issued articles that it's a doyres, it's treif, you have to kasher the pots. So this rabbi, what's his name? I can't pronounce his name.
The woman was a reform.
And they took her words, they translated it into Hebrew, and they published it as if it's Torah Misinai. So he went out on a mass, major quest, a major crusade. Rabbi Zivotofsky did enormous research. He spoke to people who raised these creatures for decades, and he spoke to scientists, and he discovered Lohayu Devarim Eilam. It's a very delicate creature. It doesn't harm a fly. And he contacted this woman who wrote this blog. He spoke with her. And some things were just exaggerations, and some things were just misinterpreted, were not fully understood. And he basically says that it's a travesty how, that's the part of the article, is how information is presented to Poiskim that is patently false. Going back to the time of Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch of Nassan Adler, they pasked the Muscovy duck in the year 1850. They received a letter about the Muscovy duck, and they even sent the pictures of the eggs. They even have the pictures. Those are not the eggs. The eggs of the Muscovy duck are white. They're flat on the bottom, they're pointy on top. Where does this false information, who has an agenda to chodosh aser min ha-Torah? And then what happened recently, in only 5 years ago, you know, we're living in the age of information. We're living in the age of information that such a thing, maybe you'll go tell me 100 years ago you can pull this off. But you can't pull this off today. Big Brother is watching. Okay, they're listening to us right now. I'm sure the NSA somewhere has a record.
I said they were terrorists.
They're going to come. They're listening. We all know they're listening.
We're not listening over here.
What?
You said a duck was a terrorist. They're going to come after.
They're going to come after us.
We're going to have a little venture show through learning how close shelter to me now. In comes a woman and says, can a woman say something?
Yeah.
Said, no, a woman from the
Let me read to you. Okay, let me read to you the last paragraph of the article. There is nothing new under the sun. And an analysis of the recent debate reveals that practically all of the arguments raised to prohibit it 100 years ago were raised again, and that surprisingly, all of the century-old responses were ignored. And you can talk about the same with bugs in the water, you know, a lot of things you can talk, you can extrapolate. The Shiloh of the Muscovy duck today is the same Shiloh it was 100 years ago. Those seeking to prohibit the bird mobilized all tactics, including utilized rumors, suppression of facts, and simple lies. There is no question that the discussion of the kashrus of the Muscovy was not carried out as a legitimate halachic discussion. The facts were not verified or examined in depth, and thus the process and the conclusion are invalid from the start. See how dangerous? This is a reckless ruling. The ruling of the Muscovy duck is categorically treif. It's one thing, you don't want to eat it. It's no different than the turkey. But that ruling that you should never, this reckless ruling that should never have seen the light of day, and through it, the honorable names of Torah scholars of earlier generations and the masses who ate the bird, relying on the earlier ruling, were besmirched. It is legitimate and understandable if one person who wants to refrain from eating Muscovy due to a questionable Masorah, the issue, or you don't want to eat because of the issue of force feeding ducks. That's another issue in going on in America, and by the Goyim, they force feed them, or any other host of other reasons. But one may not, in the name of Chumrah or Frumkeit, misrepresent the truth, distort the Torah, and make the pure impure. So this is a fascinating discussion. What I take out of this is, if you ask a Shiloh, it's treif. There really is no difference between these two birds. They all are built on the same foundation. It's just that the turkey, it got good mazel. The Muscovy duck has bad mazel. It just didn't make it. I don't think so. I think they're the same. I don't know. Okay, Rabbi Isai, we're going to take Rabbi Isai. We have 15 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, almost 20 minutes. 20 minutes. Okay, 20 minutes. And I now turn over the shiur. What?
He went to the Supreme Court. But his kid with the birds about a few months ago.
Oh, about Jerusalem, Israel?
That was a bit. Okay.